Omaha Public Radio presents another program from Creighton University on Noon Forum. We'll hear a presentation by poet, literary translator, editor, and musician Fiona C. Laurent, whose latest collection of poetry is entitled The Ruined Elegance. Miss C. Laurent will present a reading from her work, as well as a performance of the guzheng, a traditional Chinese harp. This program, co-sponsored by the Creighton Department of English, the Department of Fine and Performing Arts, and the Asian World Center, was recorded by Omaha Public Radio on Wednesday afternoon, October 26, 2016, for broadcast at this time. The opinions expressed are those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of Creighton University, KIOS-FM, or the Omaha Public School District. Here now to introduce the program is Mary Helen Stefaniak, Professor of English and Creative Writing at Creighton University.
Fiona C. Laurent is a poet, literary translator, editor, and musician who writes and translates in English, Chinese, and French. A French national born in Singapore, she grew up in a hybrid of cultures. She graduated from Columbia University with a degree in drama and theater arts, East Asian studies, and French, and from New York University with an MA in performance studies before obtaining her PhD in French literature at the Sorbonne. Her latest collection of poetry, The Ruined Elegance, was published by Princeton University Press earlier this year as part of the Princeton Series of Contemporary Poets and was named by Library Journal as one of the best poetry books of 2015. It was also a finalist for the 2016 Los Angeles Times Book Prize. My Funeral Gondola, another of her books of poems, her second volume of poetry, was published in 2013 and was a finalist for the Next Generation Indie Book Awards. Her debut, her first poetry title, Water the Moon, received an honorable mention for the Eric Hoffer Book Award in Poetry. She's a widely published translator of contemporary Chinese poetry, and her translated work has been long listed and shortlisted for a variety of prizes, including the Penn Award for Translation. She has co-or guest edited several anthologies, including and co-authored Silhouette Shadow, The Cinematic Art of Gao Xingjian. She has been a corresponding editor of a Pacific Journal of International Writing and a distinguished visiting writer at the University of Hawaii. Also a co-founding editor of Cerise Press, a lovely international online magazine of literature, arts, and culture, which is how I came to meet her some years ago. Currently, she works as an editor at Vif Edition, a small independent French press in Paris. Now, I think you can tell that in addition to reading from her poetry, she is also going to be providing us with a concert on the guzheng, a traditional Chinese harp, which she will tell you about. And just so you know kind of how things will proceed, she'll be reading it from her poems and talking about them for about 20 minutes, and then we'll shift gears to the musical segment of our portion of our program, and then we'll have some time for question and answer, and I hope everyone will avail themselves of the refreshments in the back. So she currently lives with her husband, Philippe Laurent, in Paris, so she's come a long way to be with us in Omaha. Please help me welcome her.
Thank you very much for the comprehensive introduction. I'm very thankful to be here in Omaha. This is my first time in Nebraska. And I have had in my imagination what Nebraska is. So at last, I get to see it. So thank you again. And I'm very grateful for such a wonderful and efficient organization. I don't know how I'm going to pull this through. This is my first time doing poetry together with harp, with the harp music. I've always thought of these two as two separate lives that would meet at some point, and I always sort of delay the pleasure of this meeting. I guess today I can't escape. I'm going to read from my two collections, first beginning with The Ruined Elegance, and then followed by some translations, just so you can hear a little bit of my translations in both the translation and also in the original text. And since I'm thinking always in three languages at the same time, I'm aware that the radio will permanently make available my errors. So please do forgive me. And of course, please criticize. Given silence. Saliva pressed on wax paper. In a china cup, the cracks let me think. A black, sorrowful ilk, assassinated in its postpartum shock. Luck wasted at a state banquet. Backward and forward, the story is doctored. Closer to laughter, the smell of polonia. A nun stood beside me. Which stone in what box? I wait for the ruined elegance. Plum blossoms comb the southern mountain. Maybe winter, maybe spring. What can the difference give a bystander? If only swallows mend the wind. Another way to choose. Tree to tree, grievance by grievance. I watch the sun turn from a sphere to a palace, burning but not disastrous. Soon or now, my gaze will break. I want to honor the invisible. I will use the fog to see white peaches. Back from the Aegean Sea. Oracles die in this folk tale. Thinking that I must harness the past, I erase temples and scriptorial, civilizations buried in Persian tombs, disrobed of their worth, revived in museums. Twice I paid to stand close to the sacred. I stood on the rim of an emptiness, losing deities no matter how I asked. In an era not mine, I couldn't trust a guide. This was the atmosphere I had been after in different libraries and editions, a compulsion to hold the weight of myth. How about histories, legacies the emperors tailored to their will? If gods were masters of their fates, are we the guests of our inner lives? Speaking of heroes who summit to egos, I'm attracted to the tragic ones, to question the options of allergy. I've probably chosen the wrong epic. Few days before Christmas, Kim Jong-il was dead when I woke up and surfed the net, before my husband repeated his curse that pigeons defecating on the balcony should be cooked to no one's sorrow, even if moaning was authentic, and wet butterflies stopped their wings to muse over strange flowers I saw as hysteria. Transparent. At first, I had forgotten its color. An umbrella that couldn't open. the aftermath of tears. God's mask, a mangosteen with worms. To turn this ruined thought into a poem, I took out four words. Towering. Are you interested in stealing instincts or in explaining secrets of a world that rules with age and equidistance? Layer by layer, wind seeks a message, a voice for fate. The sun, it sees, even birds in passing, detect signs at the bidding of will. An existence unaffected by seasons. So much about an unfathomable life. A round universe with plans for tomorrow, never its final word. I can't speak for accidents elsewhere. Only forms, lines, thoughts stretching to dialogue on charts or water. Believe me, answers are small. Even if one day you travel in light years, even when light becomes endless, as a star dies, another emerges in astonishment and for no reason. Notes from a funeral. Faces. Anonymous guests invited, where a buffet awaits with dragon fruit, Selma Maki, baked apricots, olives, ginger dark. My favorite food is served after African oats, Tibetan chants, and a virtual sky barrier. With respect to my Irish governors, a priest will be there. Alas, he still can't pronounce my name in full. 30 years my senior, my husband finds his seat on a bench at the back, a permanently sad smile and 30 years of thoughts. For the first time, without paddle and trills, my pianist brother mixes up Liszt with Dylan. My coffin is round, perfect feng shui. I lie like Leonardo's Vitruvian man, the sound of wild gods drumming in my heart. I settle where the wind blows me, from one state of gratitude to another province. Eyes unshut, I wait for the flowering of my last wish. The honor of your presence is requested at your own funeral reception. RSVP. Isn't that funny? I was laughing when I wrote that. I was like, my funeral. My nudity delivers what's important and unimportant about my body. Between action and repose, at room temperature. I never pose like Athena, nor like the statue of Madame Lucretia. Smile in progress, but no emotion. Nothing extraordinaire, just a mild detail, a birthmark, a loud hip bone. If I take a toe in my mouth, elegance isn't streamlined. My skin takes thoughts away from light. Before this mirror, I'm my painter, realizing that bareness opens and never shuts. What is pride? The image inside us. Thank you, mole, for behaving like an ink drop, spreading invisibly from a visible side, a hole that trembles and tickles from inside. Again from nowhere, or this time from somewhere. Wind blows away his organs and a canyon in his body. This is a Chinese verse I translated last night. One the sacred voices say never stops halfway. Ask why the wind must come uninvited, or how it contemplates a past in stillness. As if this morning it embodies new details, as if today it performs a second ritual. Not that my senses hold grievances against it. Wind isn't a tradition you learn to tame unruly souls. It teaches us to outgrow our madness, to abandon distance, to fall prey to dirt, leading us to deserts where thoughts shouldn't have stayed. In the house of wind, no table is fixed. Like the spirits, I'm not a fatalist. I wake up thinking of leeks on an omelette. Should I open a jar of ginger jam? When Natsuko phones, she's hiding with her son in a cupboard, wrapped in kimonos and sacks. The earth is now unmade and continues to shake. She quotes the wind as 2 minutes and says the clock is wrong. Pearl. Mother begged me to bring you home. Her face, a pale dirty moon, as I mentioned the peace you have found in a temple where silence woke the pine that stretched over the night. We sat in the salon, pots of boiled bonsai fingered into emptiness, slices of her last sentence crumpled in the air. Her cluttered mind flew on wings and murdered my words. Her gaze became yours. It slashed through my spine. It wasn't sudden. It was difficult. She insisted that you practice denial. My tongue gagged. I dipped into cold tea a lemon tart. A lump of sugar sunk to the bottom of my cup. It was your body. It was my heart. Jeu d'eau. Jeu d'eau is a French title. Jeu means games, d'eau means of water. So literally it means water games, but I believe there must be a much more beautiful translation for that title. It is after a piece by Maurice Ravel. That's the English American pronunciation. I'm sorry, but I can't help but just laughing. how interesting to hear the same name pronounced differently, which is the same thing for my name, actually. C. Laurent and C. Lorraine. I feel like I have two personalities. How wonderful. So Ravel is a French composer, I believe, from the Impressionist era. So here's the piece, the poem after the piano composition by Ravel. Until the quavers become feathers of a fountain, Ravel remains a beast that charges through the room. G-sharps and B-flats are four times as restless. Phrases unshapely, notes fluttered like fish out of an aquarium. Arpeggios, says Martha, must be water, touched at room temperature and without edges. Staccatos are black stones you go inside. You can't jump too high, you must weigh less than the stones. I am nine, and here is where wisdom should begin. Très doux, très expressive, très rapide. I'm working on three ways to enter a fountain. I found five. Imagine butterflies in a light food room. Imagine clouds, a belt around your waist. These are the best two to sustain the flight, to spend the paddle, to betray the title. If only I knew, fountains never look the same. That's it for my poems. I will read some translations from Sea Summit. Sea Summit, that's a book of poems and translations. And the poet is Yi Lu, a Chinese woman poet born in 1956 and currently living in the southern coastal city of Fuzhou. She's not just a poet, she also works in the theater, designer, scenographer. So I've been translating her for a couple of years, and so here's the product from Milkweed Editions in Minneapolis. In those days, Father repaired the clock. Father said his clock could walk again. Father's face had a strange light. What did he do not to let the little clock die? When weary father returned to his hut by a path in the tea mountain, things felt different with a clock alive. In those days, father repaired the clock. He must have been more anxious than a surgeon. After all, in that silent tea mountain, only that clock was like a life by his side. And the Chinese version.
父亲当年修钟，父亲说，他的钟又会走了。 父亲的脸上有奇异的光。父亲是用了什么办法，坚决不让那只小钟死去的？疲惫的父亲从茶山的小路回到他的小屋时，有一只活的钟陪着，是不一样的。父亲当年修钟，一定比为病人做手术的大夫 还揪着心。毕竟，在那沉静的茶山中，只有那只钟像他身边的一个生命。On
my way to grandmom when I was little, I would go round two mountain curves, cross a field, walk along a river, over a stone bridge. I was so little then. Seeing a goat, I would stop. Seeing a goose, I would stop. Seeing a butterfly, I would stop again. Back then, no one heard of stealing children. There was only me on the whole mountain.
小时候去外婆家，绕过两个山湾，穿过一片田地，沿着河边走一阵，再过一道石桥。那时的我才一点点大，看见羊的时候停一停，看见鹅的时候停一停，看见蝴蝶又停一停。那时候没听说有恶棍会拐小孩，整片山野只有我一个人。
I'm going to be brave and read one piece that I haven't yet done so in public. Eternal. Eternity isn't a straight line. Like an exploding dandelion, pain radiating from a heart. It flies in countless directions. It shoots out. When we are unaware, the universe explodes again and again. Eternity isn't endless, but marginless. It ends up having no exterior. Not one needle can pierce a hole in it. Because the needle also helps build eternity. Once viewed as eternal, it is over.
永恒，永恒不是直线的，它像蒲公英炸开的花，心脏的放射性疼痛，无数方向的飞出去，刺出去。宇宙在我们不知道的时候，爆炸了一片又一片。永恒不是没有尽头，而是没有边缘。自己把自己弄得没有外面，没有一枚针替他刺一个洞，因为那针也在帮着建筑永恒。一被当成永恒，就没办法了。
That's that for the Chinese English portion. I will read just one last poem, just so you can hear a little bit of French, just so you know how these three pieces, of my life piece together. I will read this piece, the French translation first of this poem by American poet Mark Strand, born in 1934 and passed away in 2014. The poem is from his last collection, Almost Invisible. So I'll read the French translation and then you will hear the English version. And now you can criticize me because you have the English original version right after.
L'assistant social et le singe. Un jour, j'étais assis dans une pièce avec un singe qui me raconta qu'il n'était pas un singe. Je compris son angoisse d'être coincé dans un corps qu'il détestait. « Monsieur, lui dis-je, je pense savoir ce que vous ressentez et j'aimerais vous aider. Traitez-moi comme un singe, rétorqua-t-il. Ça m'apprendra. »
The social worker and the monkey. Once I sat in a room with a monkey who told me he was not a monkey. I understood his anguish being trapped in a body he detested. Sir, I said, I think I know what you're feeling and I would like to help you. Treat me like a monkey, he said. It serves me right.
So that's quite it for poetry. Thank you.
So when I'm not doing any poetry, I sleep, of course. I eat. I walk a lot. And the rest of my time, ideally, is spent on this instrument. I have been working with it. I have been having this relationship with this instrument for, say, about 30 years. To be fair. So to say that I know it well, it's not exactly true. I think it knows me better than I know it well, or better, or whatnot. It's a guzheng. Guzheng means ancient harp. Gu and zheng, guzheng. It has 21 strings. you play with both hands, or you play with just your right hand in terms of melody, and then your left hand, you know, you work with it. I like to think of it as this is the body, this is the flesh, and this is the spirit, this is the soul. A lot of dark things can happen here, and a lot of bright things can happen at the same time. You know, and they come like that. They will cross paths, they won't. There's always something happening. So my body, this is my body, this is a river. The river will always separate you from me. You know, I have to cross this, and you have to cross this to reach me. I will do the first piece, which is a very classical piece. I'm still in the body of the monkey, actually, and the social worker. I can't decide who I am after all. I'm going to do this piece, which is very classical, Gao Shan Liu Shui, high mountains, flowing rivers, a literary translation. Okay, it's very lyrical, and I believe it's so popular that you even hear it now whenever, you know, the TV advertisement or telephone, you know, message box, when you reach someone and the person is not there, you hear that melody. And I'm sorry for this breakdown of words, because I think when you play an instrument, you have to know how to give a breath to the instrument. And this is the instrument that will do the talking. You have to learn to be mute. So something that happens behind the scene for any musician, I believe.
Thank you.
I'm just going to change the key a while and allows me to transit a bit. So I'm now changing the key signature, and because this is a folk instrument, you have to do it manually in some sense. It's a Kejia piece. Kejia means from the as a region in the south of China. It's also classical, and you will hear that it has a different character, you know, because in China there are many different dialects. So in some sense, you will hear a different dialect interpreted differently musically. The piece is called in Chinese Chu Shui Lian, lotus emerging from water, out of the water. It's supposed to be a piece about simplicity, about purity, philosophically. So. Modern piece. Well, it's not a modern piece exactly. It's actually a classical piece, but with a more modern twist to it, adaptation or a text based on a text from the Yuan Dynasty. And in Chinese, it's called Hai Qing Na Tian E, a virtual catches a crane, something of that sort. Yeah.
Thank you.
each piece on the Gujing. I'm not supposed to do this. My teacher will be so angry. But that's okay. I'll do a French piece. It's Les Temps de Cerise. Le Temps de Cerise. The Cherry Times, I believe, is a revolutionary piece from the 19th century. So it's supposed to be sung. And I didn't do the adaptation. My professor, my teacher did. So I hope you'll like it. Hang on.
Thank you.
You've been listening to a program from Creighton University on Noon Forum. We've heard a presentation by poet, literary translator, editor, and musician Fiona C. Laurent, whose latest collection of poetry is entitled The Ruined Elegance. Ms. C. Laurent has presented a reading from her work, as well as a performance on the guzheng, a traditional Chinese harp. This program, co-sponsored by the Creighton Department of English, the Department of Fine and Performing Arts, and the Asian World Center, was recorded by Omaha Public Radio on Wednesday afternoon, October 26, 2016, for broadcast at this time. Special thanks to Cindy Workman, Director of Public Relations at Creighton University, for helping to make the recording and broadcast of this program possible. Complete Noon Forum listings, as well as an archive of over 600 previous broadcasts, are available on our website, kios.org. Now, this is your producer and host, Bob Cote, thanking you for listening.